BeCure Laser is now available in the UK. To get your very special offer right now, just call 0808 501 5122.
Hello and thank you so much for joining me on the show today. This is the Diabetes Show on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. My name is Peter Alton of Undefeated and I'm your host for today and the coming weeks. Hello and welcome once again to the Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio. I hope you have had an amazing week. Over here in the UK, we are now going into the last couple of days of lockdown. The last of the latest lockdown that we've had. Who knows whether we'll have any more in the future. I suspect that possibly as things open up over Christmas, I think many people are predicting that there could well be another flurry of COVID cases after that, and that might necessitate another lockdown. But anyway, we are coming out of it now, but we've got a bit of a dilemma because people have been put in these different tiers. Well, I shouldn't say people have been put, although I guess that is what is happening, but it's geographical areas that have been put into these tiers. I just can't imagine the job that the government has actually got in the UK here and governments around the world just to try to make fair choices which are not going to impact on people's livelihoods, on impact on people's lives, full stop. It's a thankless task. I certainly wouldn't want to be in that position. And, I think we need to be praying for the guidance of our ministers, of our government officials as they try to lead us through this horrible, horrible pandemic. Anyway, Christmas is coming. So let's just try and think of something a little bit more jolly. It looks like over here in the UK, we will get to celebrate Christmas a bit, although we are certainly going to be very cautious in my family. You know, we've got the diabetes issues in the family. We've got my parents who are in their 80s. We're going to be very, very cautious and possibly even postpone celebrating it until a little bit later, particularly as we've got this virus almost under control, we hope, with the vaccines that are coming out. So that might be something to consider. It might be something that you decide that when you are with your loved ones over this Christmas, that you do actually make sure you are socially distancing. Maybe you are going to postpone it and meet up and celebrate at Easter time, or even the summer when it's even warmer. But maybe you are fed up and you do need to spend some time with your loved ones. Then just make sure it's safe. You know, wear masks some of the time, socially distance, just do it as safely as you possibly can, and certainly don't let the drink get the better of you and your guard fall down, because that's of course a big danger. Anyway, what have I been up to? You know, I've been on this diet. Well, I tipped just under the 85k on my weigh in last week, so that's really good. Started off at 93.7, you remember, so down to 85. Not going quite as fast as I thought it would do, actually, but then again, I haven't been doing as much exercise as I had planned either. And my blood sugars, they're better than they were, but they're still not out of the pre-diabetes range, and I'm a bit frustrated with that. I have noticed some trends which I'm working on, but I've decided, you know what, the thing I practice and the thing I preach can sometimes be different. I preach that we should do testing regularly, pinprick testing, and it doesn't happen. And I've tried approaching a couple of organizations to see if they will sponsor me throughout this to get the one of these continuous glucose monitors so that I can really see how my body is reacting to various things. And then normally for people who are on insulin, people with type 1 diabetes, so people with type 2 diabetes don't normally necessarily go for something like Dexcom or Freestyle Libre. And I've decided to go with one of those and to give it a try and just to see how much information I can get from it. And I'll keep you posted on it. I'll let you know how things are going, whether I can find a pattern, find out what my body doesn't like when it comes to carbohydrates, when it comes to sugars, when it comes to exercise, how my body reacts to certain different types of food. And sometimes, you know, sometimes it can be a food that you think is very sensible, which actually your body doesn't take a liking to. And I believe actually sometimes it can even be a combination of foods as well, which can affect you. Then, of course, there's the lack of sleep. So that's going to be an interesting one for me. You know, having the Freestyle Libre or whichever one I decide to have on is going to allow me to see what's going on while I'm asleep. Because that's the thing I don't get at the moment. My meals, fine, but my fasting glucose, it's not in the diabetic range, but it's still in the pre-diabetes range. I would have thought that with my diet as it is at the moment that I should be out of that by now. Anyway, we will see. Let's still have a look at a few things in the news before we introduce our guest for today. There's a few things. I'm going to diabetes.co.uk's website as usual. First one I'm going to just really whiz through because I don't want my son hearing me say this one. There's a one that says gaming may improve mental health. Hopefully he didn't hear that because he certainly should have fantastic mental health, the amount of gaming that he does. Anyway, they reckon that gaming may improve your mental health. Moving swiftly on to the next one, which I'm going to skim over as well because I don't want to get too negative. But this one is organ damage found in long COVID sufferers. So it's yet another reason for avoiding getting this COVID disease. You know, some people get it and get it acutely and badly. Some people get this long COVID. And apparently long COVID is proving that actually it could be more serious than just feeling a bit tired and run down, which I think is one of the main symptoms of long COVID. Apparently some organ damage has been found in sufferers of it. So we're not going to dwell on that one, but please go to the site if you want to have a look at these in more details, diabetes.co.uk/news, and you should find them there. Next one, study finds vegans are more likely to break bones. So if you're doing a vegan diet, maybe look into that and find out what you might need to take as a supplement, possibly in order to improve your bone health. Next one, more evidence links junk food to heart disease and stroke. Do we need more evidence on that one? I suppose the more evidence you get, the better, but really we should all be aware that actually junk food ain't good for us. But the next one is interesting though. Chili peppers found to reduce cardiovascular related death by 26%. So I guess if you're eating junk food with lots of chilies, then it might balance it out a little bit. No, I'm not condoning that at all, okay? I should be quite healthy because I love chilies. I have quite a lot of it. Apparently, it also lowers your risk of cancer mortality by a quarter. Previous studies have found the ingredient has anti-inflammatory, antioxidant, anti-cancer, and blood glucose regulating properties. So maybe I need to eat even more chili to get my blood glucose under better control. Go and have a look at that one. I'm sure that's one of interest to many of you. Likewise, the last one here maybe as well. Restricting eating in the morning doesn't lead to weight loss. Apparently, the university, Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, wanted to investigate how effective restrictive eating is on weight loss. So whether you, what time of day you eat, whether it makes a difference. If you eat the same sort of number of calories and then early in the day or later in the day, does it make a difference to how much weight loss? And apparently the weight loss does improve, of course, your health. It does improve people's blood pressure. But actually, it didn't make any difference whether you ate early or whether you ate later in the day as to the amount of weight you lost or how much you lowered your blood pressure by. Well, that's all the news we've got time for today because I need to get on and introduce our extra special guest. Our guest today is a gentleman who we have had on the show before, and this time he's going to be talking about the secret to happiness, really, but how you can become a happy person. So who doesn't want to know about that? We all crave happiness, I'm sure. Or Most of us do anyway. So we're going to listen to a song before we get him on. His name is Dr. Sandeep Chopra. As you probably remember, he has been on here before. Great guy. Love talking to him. And before that, I chose a song before that, which is from the film The Pursuit of Happiness. And it's by Andrea Guerra. And it's called Welcome, Chris. Hope you enjoyed it. That was Andrea Guerra, the composer of Welcome, Chris, which is from the film The Pursuit of Happiness. Hope you enjoyed it. You're listening to The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio. And today we've got somebody who is going to assist us in our pursuit of happiness. He's been on the show before. He is a really remarkable guy, lovely guy. His name is Dr. Sandeep Chopra, and welcome to the show, Sandeep.
Dr. Sandeep, can I call you just Sandeep, or?
Yeah, please call me Sandeep.
Great stuff. Sandeep, you're a hepatologist? Have I got that?
That is correct.
I always get tongue twisted with that one. You're also a speaker, an author, author of numerous books, I believe.
Yeah, about 10 books, and I'm, believe it or not, during this COVID crisis, because we're working from home, a lot of travel, a lot of conferences, keynotes that I would give are cancelled, or they're being done by Zoom. I've written 2 books in the last 4 months, one with a colleague, and it's on diabetes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it's going to be called Conquering Your Diabetes, Prevention, Control, Remission. It's now with my literary agent in New York, and she's sending it to 15 publishers.
Oh, wow.
And the second shorter book, only about 90 pages, is on coffee. Coffee has so many health benefits, and every 2 weeks there's another study. So I'm calling it Coffee, the Magical Elixir, Facts That Will Astound and Perk You Up.
Listeners, I'm just going to interject here and just let you know that the bit that Sanjeev is referring to here was actually from the first interview that I took out of this audio recording. So if you want to hear about the information there on coffee, etc., then please do go and listen to his previous interview that we did several weeks ago. And you can do that by going to either the actual UK Health Radio website, or you can follow the quick link bit.ly/diabetesradio. And if you see there, you'll see the first six of my, or the last six of my shows, I should say. And I think his will be one of those. If it isn't, you just click more and you'll get the next six as well. And it will be one of those, and it will have his name in the show description. So do go and have a look at that one if you missed his previous show. Anyway, back to the interview as it is now, a little bit more from Sanjeev.
So, Sanjeev, thank you again for joining us here on the UK Health Radio Diabetes Show. And you may even find yourself getting onto the Foot Health Show as well, because I know the last interview you did was really fascinating, and I'm sure that this one's going to be as well. What we're going to be talking about today, I believe, is some keys to happiness. And that's why I think it should go out to both shows, because everyone, well, pretty much everyone wants to be happy. And I think you've done quite a bit of research into this and experience in this. There's various things which you believe we need to do in order to have happy lives.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think happiness is hardwired in our DNA. If you and I were sitting together and having a cup of coffee across the table, and we heard laughter in the adjacent room, we'd be gravitated. We'd like to say, hey, let's check that out. Why are these people so happy? So I wrote a book. I gave a talk around the country and around the world on dharma, happiness, and living with purpose. And then it became a book, and I wrote it with a friend and colleague. She was the Associate Dean of External Communications at Harvard Medical School, Gina Will. And in my talks and in the research we did, we came to the conclusion that the happiest people on this planet have 4 things in common. Mm-hmm. And the first one is they have a cadre of good friends. Your friends are your chosen family. I got very lucky with my parents and my one sibling, but I had no choice. But my friends I can choose. Robert Louis Stevenson once said, a friend is a gift that you give to yourself. Khalil Gibran, friendship is a sweet responsibility, never an opportunity. Best-selling author James Rohn, you are the average of the 5 people you spend the most time with. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful saying. You're the average of the 5 people you spend the most time with. So there's an amazing study. It's called the Harvard Grant Study. It's gone on for almost 80 years. There's no study like that. Mm-hmm. It's the longest study on happiness. And they took 700 sophomores, 21-year-olds, out of which 250 went to Harvard. The rest were from poor families living in horrible conditions, dysfunctional families, parts of Boston, neighborhoods called Dorchester and Roxbury. Followed them every year, detailed questionnaires, physical examination, blood tests, EKG, functional MRI, cholesterol, then home visits. Now cohort, 2,000 of their children are being followed. It's amazing to see a study that's gone on so long, gotten funded. Yeah. And Robert Waldinger, who's the current person heading the study is a professor of psychiatry at Harvard Medical School, has given a brilliant TED Talk on it. I encourage everyone to watch this TED Talk, What Makes a Good Life, by Robert Wadlinger.
Right.
So what happened to that group? Some became CEOs, four applied to become U.S. senators. One became the president of America, John F. Kennedy, was in that cohort.
Oh, wow.
Some became Skid Row alcoholic derelicts, some died of suicide. And the major conclusion of the study is that loneliness is toxic.
Mm.
That your satisfaction with relationships with your friends at age 50 is a better predictor of health, happiness, and longevity at age 80. 3 decades later.
Mm.
So I tell all the students and young doctors, you have 20 minutes to see a patient. Last minute, ask them what do they do to celebrate with friends. Point them to this TED Talk. There's also a book about this. So that's number one, friends. The second trait of the happiest people is they have the ability to forgive.
Just going with friends again for a minute. How can you, there's friends and then there's friends. How can you really be sure that a friend is truly that? I mean, you've got grandchildren, so you've obviously had teenage children as well. And I've got teenage children. I've got some that are beyond teenage. You always are concerned for them about their choices and what it's going to mean. How can you...
That's the James Rohn. You're the average of the 5 people you spend the most time with.
Hmm.
If you have friends who are into gambling, into drinking too much, into using drugs, you'll become like that. If they eat too much and become obese, you'll become obese. You'll go to the wrong restaurants, eat the wrong foods. So choose your friends carefully.
Mm.
And they have to have the same core values as you have. They also have to have the other traits. They have the ability to forgive. You know, if you hold bitterness or rancor in your heart, you can never be happy. To me, the greatest example of that is Nelson Mandela. 27 years in prison. Can you imagine 27 days? And when he's released, Mr. Mandela, do you harbor resentment or bitterness against your captors? He said, I have no bitterness, I have no resentment. Resentment is like drinking poison and then hoping it will kill your enemies. Amazing.
Yeah.
So friends, forgiveness. The third is a quote from Albert Schweitzer, who was a physician, theologian, humanitarian, Nobel laureate, opened a hospital in Gabon with his wife, a nurse. And he was a very humble man. 1952, he gets the Nobel Peace Prize. And at the ceremony, he says, now I have to go earn it. Now I have to go earn it.
Mm.
Talk about humility. But he once said, I don't know what your destiny will be, but one thing I'm certain of, the ones amongst you who will be truly happy are those who have sought and found how to serve.
Mm.
Serving others. So I've distilled it into 3 S, friends, forgiveness for others. But the fourth one begins with G, and it's not God, it's gratitude. Very simple way for all of us to become happier is to start a gratitude journal. Once a week on a Sunday evening, as you're looking at the next week and what's in store for you, reflect on what transpired in the last 7 days and write down what you were grateful for. Your happiness quotient goes up by 25%.
Mm.
Research. Robert Emmons, considered one of the fathers of modern positive psychology, has written a brilliant paperback called Thanks, How the Science of Gratitude is Shaping Our Lives. And he did a study. So friends, forgiveness for others, gratitude.
Mm.
But happiness is more than the sum total of happy moments. And in order to have sustained happiness, you and I have to find our purpose in life and live it. And Mark Twain once famously said, the two most important days in your life are the day you're born and the day you find out why. So the title of the book is The Two Most Important Days, you know, how to find your purpose, live a happy and healthy life. Now, a lot of people look for happiness in the wrong places. They think if I get a new Tesla, I get a new Ferrari, I move into a mansion, I join this country club, maybe the second country club, you know, I'll be happy. What happens to people who win the lottery? I know a guy who worked at a shop and he bought a scratch ticket. He won $20 million. And I'll tell you, he's one of the happiest guys for the following reason. He's donating to charity. Mm. And he's partaking in meaningful experiences. He never had a passport. He got a passport. Now he's traveled to many countries before COVID. So at the end of a year, people who win the lottery are back to their baseline, or they're worse off, unless they've done these two things. Meaningful experiences and given a certain amount, usually around 10%, to a meaningful charity. But when you get a brand new car, you'll enjoy it for the first 2-3 months, and maybe longer. But after a while, it's a car.
Yeah.
And you get used to it. And this phenomenon is called hedonic adaptation. Hedonism, hedonic adaptation.
Right.
Now look at the flip side. One of the worst fates that can befall a human being is to break your neck and become paralyzed for life.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened to Christopher Reeves, Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Taking part in an equestrian competition, suddenly the horse buckled, he went flying, broke his neck. And for the first 2 or 3 months, there's always this victim mentality. Why did God do this to me? But here's what he said before the year was over. He said, this is not what I imagined my life to be, but it has meaning, it has purpose, there is joy, there is laughter. He probably, Peter, had a better appreciation of the sunrise, the sunset, the birds chirping than you and me. So human beings are amazingly resilient. And we can find our purpose in life and live it, we'll be the happiest. Now, one technique in a workshop I do with a spiritual friend of mine, Adrian Wilkins, is we give people 30 3x5 cards. Okay, and say for the next 30 days in the evening, before you sleep, write down 3 or 4 things you did and give it a grade, where 1, you were miserable, and 10, if you're lucky, you were in bliss, 9, you were very, very happy, etc. At the end of a month, put all those cards on a table. Strike everything between 1 and 5. Look at 6, 7, 8, 9. That made you happy. That gave you joy, maybe bliss. Your purpose is lurking in there. That's where your purpose is. So there are ways to find your purpose in life. Sometimes people find it when they witness something horrific and very tragic, but then they have the fortitude, the grit, the compassion, the love to say, this is unacceptable, I'm going to make a difference. The Buddha once said, every life has a measure of sorrow. Sometimes this is what awakens us. So I have a friend, I consider him an amazing individual, a mentor who inspires me every day with his life. He's from the country Colombia. His name is Jaime Aramillo. He's my age. And about 40 some years ago, in his late 20s, he's standing at a street corner in Bogota, and across the street there's a sewer, and these orphans live there, hundreds of kids. And he's saying to himself, I should do something about these kids. A 7-year-old girl walks out, beautiful girl. She's looking at him and smiling. As they're having this interchange, a car comes around the corner, stops in the middle of the street, window rolls down, somebody tosses a toy. It's a yellow school bus toy. The car recedes. She comes running to the middle of the street. She's never possessed a toy. She picks it up. She's looking at Jaime Aramillo and smiling. And as they're having this interchange, speeding truck comes around the corner, kills her. So he says to himself, this is my calling in life. He has adopted, housed, schooled, and fed 52,000 orphans. Wow. So he's a national hero, Papa Jaime. Yeah. I said, Papa, how do you pay for it? He said, Sanjeev, I have a bakery. We only make cookies. I've convinced all the restaurants in Medellin, Bogota, to have a cookie jar next to the cash register. As people are leaving, they grab a cookie. There's a shoebox. They drop change. I get 50% of my needs that way. I said, how many staff do you have? He said, 150. I said, how do you pay for the rest? He said, I'm a motivational speaker. I speak all over Latin America. I plow my own radio into the foundation. I said, come on. I know what motivational speakers get. That doesn't cut it. He says, you're right. Every time I need money, Sanjeev, out of the blue, somebody helps me. He said, I'll give you an example. 3 weeks ago, I needed $41,000 to pay my bills. I go to 3 banks, they turn me down, said, Papa, we love the work you do. You already got loans with us. Don't even tell anyone what rate. So he's coming back to his office. There's a street woman across the street. And she says, Papa Jaime, crosses the street, gives him a hug. And he says to her, you're hungry? She said, yeah. He says, come to the office. Come with me. So she's sitting in the office having cookies and drinking coffee. He's on the phone calling three other bankers, and she can tell that he's being turned down. So she looks at him, smiles, and says, Papa, how much money do you need? So Sanjeev, I said to her, I need $41,000. She smiled. She says, I give it to you. Then Sanjeev, I said to myself, she's cuckoo. The street woman. She opened her purse. She had $60,000. Her son had sent her the money. She's going to sign a paper and move into her house. She says, I've saved some other money. I can move later. Your children need it. Take it now. No questions asked. You can return it if you want, when you want. He says, that kind of thing happens to me all the time.
Wow.
Then he showed me photographs of a young lady, and she became a computer scientist. Another young man dressed in impeccable white, handsome young guy, flanked by Pete Sampras on one side, Agassi on the other, junior national champion of tennis for the country Colombia, one of his orphans. Professional athletes, doctors, dentists, podiatrists, teachers, nurses, surgeons, been doing it for 40 years. And many of them are giving back to his foundation. Yeah. And if you see his, if you meet him, Peter, you'll see the bliss in his eyes.
Mm.
He found his purpose in life 40 some years ago, and he's living it to this day.
Mm.
Amazing guy.
What's his name again?
Papa Jaime.
Jaime. How do you spell Jaime?
The Papa, like J-A-M-I-E.
Okay, yeah. Uh-huh.
Because, you know, Spanish, the J is H.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Papa Jaime. Okay. I said, come to Boston. I'll do a fundraiser for you. I mentioned him in a number of my keynotes on leadership and happiness. Out of the blue, he'll send me an email. Two doctors from Chicago were visiting Colombia, and they came to the orphanage. They had heard the story from you, and they wrote a check for $2,000. Thank you so much. So the word is spreading. There's a coffee company, I think it's called Java Bomb, in Portland, Oregon. They asked me to be on the board, and I couldn't. But they said, we've heard your story about Papa Jaime. And the founder said, I'm presenting it to the board next week to see that with every cup of coffee we sell, every bag of coffee beans we sell, certain percentage will go to Papa Jaime Foundation.
Wow.
I said, my God, how good is that?
Mm. Yeah.
Right? So, amazing. So friends, forgiveness for others, gratitude, but to find sustained and be happy all the time, we have to find our purpose and live it. And it'll come.
Yeah.
It'll come. You have to reflect on it.
Yeah, definitely. Wow. Okay, well, that's a powerful story. And I hope that really helps people. I think the practical thing you said to do there probably will be helpful, to get those 30 cards and to write down the good and the bad things that have happened in that day. Yeah.
Yeah. Then you say, why am I doing these bad things? Do I really need to do them? And these ones made me happy, whether it was being with friends, being creative, thinking of starting a company, a radio show. Just have the courage to get started. Winston Churchill once said, courage is rightly esteemed the first of human qualities, because it is the quality that guarantees all others.
Mm.
I think people are not only afraid of failure, some people are afraid of success.
Mm.
If I get that job, will I be able to rise to the occasion? If I start a radio show, will I be a good guy? Interview? You can do it. There are techniques. You can learn all these.
Mm.
One of the things I tell young people is get three or four friends in different disciplines that you're very close to, have the same core values, and form your own, I don't call it a board, I call it your personal advisory group.
Yeah.
Personal advisory group. Meet once a month, rotate in your homes, and you say, I'm facing a challenge. I'm thinking of accepting this job or doing this. And let them chime in. They'll give you good advice.
Mm.
They have the same core values.
Yeah, it's having those same core values, isn't it? Making sure.
Yeah. It's okay.
So, writing on those cards, if you're putting down some things, you might think, well, this really brought me happiness. I'm not speaking for myself here, but
You know, I went out with some mates, got absolutely plastered, had a wonderful night. I assume you should probably look deeper into it as to not just was it a happy night, but was it?
Were you happy next day? Were you happy the following day? Did you slip up the next day because you were plastered?
Mm.
So that's not true happiness, right?
Yeah.
It's more than happy moments. I give this talk and one lady came up to me and she said, you know, a physician, she said, I volunteer in my church once a week. And after your talk, I've decided I'm quitting my practice, period. What will make me truly happy is to be a missionary doctor. And I'm going to go to Latin America. I'm from the country Guatemala. And I know of a missionary hospital there. I'm going to volunteer there.
Mm.
Okay, I've made enough money. I don't need money. But that's what's going to give me great happiness. Thank you.
Mm.
She found her purpose by listening to a talk.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
So it can happen.
I mean, I found my purpose back when my daughter was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes.
Oh, shit.
So that was the wake-up. Even though I'd already developed type 2 before that, I just realized that the number of diabetic amputations that take place, the number of podiatrists that sit in their clinics all day waiting for the problem to come in, I realized who would speak to her about it. Now, it's a lot better nowadays. There's a lot more awareness being made, but there's a lot of people that don't really realize the risk they're at.
Yeah. So, you know, there's the promise of stem cells. I don't know how long it will take, but I think the first major use of stem cells will be for type 1 diabetes.
Mm.
So we have a Harvard Stem Cell Institute, and there are two amazing professors, Doug Melton and David Scadden, both full professors.
Right.
We have quoted Doug Melton in the diabetes book I wrote with Martin Abramson. Why is he so passionate about? That's all he thinks about. He dreams about finding a cure. His two sons with type 1 diabetes.
Yeah.
So he's on a mission. And we need people like that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. You know, that'll be amazing.
Yeah, cool.
Can coerce these stem cells to make insulin and it'll be amazing.
Yeah. So is there an answer to this question? Where can you find people like you with core values? Where should someone look? You know, if there's a listener now thinking, you know what, my circle of friends, they're not really a good influence on me. What can they do? Where should they look?
I mentioned this to a very dear friend in California. You're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. He looked at and he said, oh my God, my friends are not my friends. I think they're my friends, but I take them in my private plane to Cabos in Mexico, to Las Vegas. I pay for their rooms. I pay for the gambling. I pay for the dinner. That's why they're nice to me.
Mm.
That's not true friendship. I'm going to change my friends. Sanjeev, thank you so much. So you have to look around and see, you know, who all has the similar core values. Whether it is reading, traveling, hiking, charity work, church work, you know, finding a cure for type 1 diabetes, a walk for hunger, whatever. And they're around you.
Mm-hmm.
They're in your neighborhood, they're in your church, they're, you know, in your local library. And just start talking to people. You know, that's how. I am very fortunate. I have the most amazing friends. My wife says, my God, you're so happy when you're with your friends. I said, I am. They enliven me. They inspire me.
Mm.
And maybe in some small measure, I do the same for them. So
I'm sure you
that's
do.
My friends.
Well, I'm sure you do. Yeah. So I suppose a good start for someone would be to actually sit down and really contemplate what your core values are. Because I mean, I think a lot of people just go through life without realizing what they are.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm. Okay. So Sanjeev, you've been absolutely amazing. I've taken up way too much of your time today.
No. I'm so happy to do this, and we'll do some other sessions. Just reach out to me.
Okay, I will do. Definitely when this book comes out, okay? I definitely want to do one on this.
I will send you the diabetes book when it comes out. It's right now with 15 different publishers.
Okay.
For my literary agent. And we got some amazing endorsements from world-famous professors, diabetologists, from the previous dean at Harvard Medical School, and from people from different countries as well. Mm. And they love the book. And we told stories in the book.
Okay. It's a book for people with diabetes, yeah? As opposed to...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So my colleague, Martin Abramson, has had a 92-year-old patient that we invited to sit on stage at our 7-day annual conference, Update in Internal Medicine. She just died recently, and she got a standing ovation.
Mm-hmm.
And her story, I mean, listen to this. Her story is when she was 6 in Canada, she was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. So her mother thought she'd never have a full life, homeschooled her, gave her insulin. Insulin had just come out 5 years earlier.
Mm.
She then got married to a great guy, and traveled all over the world. Then she develops retinopathy, nephropathy, celiac disease, which goes along with type 1 diabetes. She took up curling, became like the Canadian curling champion. Lived to 92.
Wow.
So she got a standing ovation.
Yeah.
From 500 physicians from 45 countries. Martin did a calculation that during her life, from age 6 to 92, she took 120,000 injections of insulin.
Mm.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And then we have a story of a pilot. And all his life, he wanted to fly planes. Mm. And he develops type 2, but then he needs insulin. So the FAA won't let you fly.
Yeah.
So Martin did continuous glucose monitoring for 3 years and showed his blood sugar was under tight control. Wrote letters. He got his license last month. He's back to flying.
Good.
So some cool stories in there.
Yeah, definitely. I look forward to this. Okay. Anything else you wanted to share with the listeners before we close out for today?
I think, you know, coffee lowers the risk of developing type 2 diabetes. 6 cups a day, both regular and decaf.
Mm-hmm.
If you already have diabetes and drink 2 cups, 30% reduction in cardiovascular mortality.
Mm-hmm.
So drink coffee. Every diabetic should be drinking 2 to 4 cups. All of us should be drinking, but diabetes... liver disease. The most recent study came out, JAMA Oncology, this week. If one has advanced metastatic colon cancer and you increase your coffee intake, longer disease-free survival. Hello? How does that happen?
Yeah.
Immune system, telomeres, whatever. Pretty amazing.
Yeah. Amazing.
All right, Peter. Great to be with you.
Great to be with you. Thank you so much for your time.
You're most welcome. We'll stay in touch.
Okay, thanks. Good day.
Okay.
Have a great weekend. So that was Dr. Sanjeev Chopra. For those of you that joined during his interview there, I hope you enjoyed it. Hope you are a little bit closer to finding your happy zone in life, the whole purpose of your life, which will bring you that happiness. Thank you, Sanjeev, for your thoughts there. I can tell by your voice and by your story that you are certainly a happy man yourself. Likewise, I am happy, and hopefully many of our listeners are already happy. And if not, then they'll be a step closer to doing that. Sanjeev shared with me a couple of his favorite songs, because I always ask my guests, or at least when I remember, I always ask my guests for a couple of their songs. Now, with Sanjeev, we did a long interview, so it's been split into two. So I did play both of his songs last time. But this particular one I thought was worthy of a second play this time. And that is because it is an amazing, amazing film. Bit of a classic. Dr. Zhivago. And Sanjeev's choice is, of course, Lara's Theme. So sit back. Put your feet up and enjoy.
That was, of course, the wonderful Lara's theme from Dr. Zhivago and the equally wonderful Dr. Sanjeev Chopra. I hope you enjoyed what he had to say there. You've been listening to The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio. And again, if you joined us during that talk or during that song even, please do go back and listen to it in its entirety. And of course, listen to the previous interview that I did with Dr. Sanjeev as well, which was all about, well, it was about diabetes, but it was all about the benefits of coffee. Apparently, coffee can benefit us in many, many ways. I've actually upped my coffee consumption since speaking with him last time. And hopefully, you will find the benefits of it as well. Well, today's been an amazing, amazing talk. And I really am hopeful that we can get a little bit more happiness in this world, that some of you listeners who may be not feeling fully fulfilled will take up Sanjeev's advice there. You know, get those little cards and every single day for a month, write on it the things that have made you feel good and those things that haven't made you feel so good as well. Give them all a score. And then at the end of the month, you can look at all the things that gave you good, positive feelings, made you happy, and hopefully you'll be a step closer to finding your happy zone in life. Hope you have a fantastic week ahead and look forward to joining with you again next week. And that is it for this week's show. You've been listening to Peter Olsen with The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. All that remains is for me to say have a fantastic week. Stay safe in the diabetes sweet spot, living the ideal diabetic lifestyle. I look forward to sharing more with you next week. Take good care and God bless.